Welcome to the Industry 4.0 podcast with Grantech.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Industry 4.0 podcast with Grantech. Industry 4.0 podcast with Grantech gives a look into the world of manufacturing with a focus on stories and trends for better solutions. Our guests share tips and outcomes that will help improve your productivity. I'm Dave McKenna from Grantech, smart packaging leader, and I'm joined today by Angela Morris. Angela is head of global IT manufacturing capabilities at a little company you may eat their products, known as the Kraft Heinz Company. Angela is a driver of strategy and vision, passionate promoter of operational excellence, and a classically trained musician with a love of gardening, student of culture, and active in community engagement and service. Today, Angela is accountable for strategic planning to drive digital automation and integration in her current role at Kraft Heinz. Angela recently worked for Lubrizol, Berkshire Hathaway Company's Director of Manufacturing Automation. Prior to Lubrizol, she was Global Improvement Lead at Dow Chemical, another household name, directing global MES organization and leading digital transformation efforts across global and horizontal functions to bring IT, finally bridge that gap between IT and OT. Angela delivered a portfolio of innovation deployment M&A efforts while supporting 400 plants. Global organization of architects, project managers, engineers, application developers helped make this a success and one of the largest mergers in U.S. history. While at Dow, she was also on the international board of directors for Mesa. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited to talk with you today about Industry 4.0.
I got two kind of comments just up first. Thank you for your work at Kraft Heinz. They are keeping my children alive. The all meat is chicken, but chicken sometimes they won't eat it. But ketchup is a very, very powerful condiment with children and ensuring they actually eat something and don't go to bed hungry every night. So thank you for the Kraft Heinz work that hits home. And the other one to add, some people are ambitious. So a lot of got a big career. You've done a lot of stuff. Been in a high up leadership position at a lot of companies. Just curious, before we start into Industry 4.0, how did you get started? What's kind of the story of your career, and why high up IT in manufacturing?
Sure. So just a little background. I started my career with an IT background and joined Dow Chemical and spent many, many years at Dow Chemical. Also did some short stints at some other firms where, you know, it culminated in what I do today in terms of working in the manufacturing space, in the supply chain space. As I grew in Dow, I had a lot of exposure to some great people, and it culminated again in, you know, what I love to do. It's a passion. I think manufacturing is a passion. You have it or you don't. And for me, it's something that I carry forward with me throughout my career. So, you know, that's a little bit of background.
I'll agree to that. And like, I've kind of shared that as well. It's always been an amazing part of my career in manufacturing that you're doing this to make stuff. There's things that weren't there before. You had that silo of flour or whatever it was, or some plastic bits or metal, or I don't know, whatever you're making. You had those inputs come in and that was really nothing. And then you got real stuff flying out the door that people need and consume and keeps the world full of stuff. And some people, I know it's not as, you could go work at a company like Google or something like that, but they don't really make things. It's just ones and zeros floating around. There is a, for many of us, it appeals the real nature of manufacturing. Agree. First question, kind of something we like to ask everybody on the show. What does Industry 4.0 mean to you? It's a broad term, gets thrown around perhaps too much at times for all encompassing. What is it for you?
Fundamentally, for me, it is a cultural paradigm. Without sounding too cliche, it really means that we have to embrace change. We have to evolve over time, and that happens through intentional and purposeful disruption. And oftentimes disruption, the word, is used in a negative connotation, But in the way that we use it in Industry 4.0, it really means challenging the way that we've been thinking, looking at the art of the impossible, even dipping our toes in the art of the impossible to really challenge ourselves and test ourselves on what does the future look like? What does the North Star look like? And so it's about putting the persona in the middle of the ecosystem and enabling that person to have the data, which of course we've heard the DIKM, that data needs to turn into information, that information turns into knowledge. And from there, we have the institutional knowledge and wisdom that we need to run in a near real time or a real time environment to be operationally efficient. So in a nutshell, that's how I think of, digital transformation in Industry 4.0.
I like it that there's a lot of talk about data, but data for what? Well, data for information, but information for what? I like your definition, information, so we can empower someone. And I like that this is intentional and purposeful, because there's a lot of, companies do need to make a real decision and then move with intent to adopt any of this. Otherwise, yeah, maybe you could check a box that you put something in, but is it really doing anything? Well, at the same time, yes, this is a gigantic, can be if you're intentional and you go actually move enough to put enough effort in to move the needle on anything, then yes, this is a large change management piece, and it doesn't have to be that negative one. So great definition. Right. I think a lot of the key touch points. We are going to do something fun before I get to a little more of a serious question. We'd like to ask artificial intelligence, as this is for their sense of humor, for riddles and some challenge, and we'll see how good this one is today. But what is black when you buy it, red when you use it, and gray when you throw it away?
I've thought about hair color in this context, but that's obviously not the answer. I would venture to say that the answer is charcoal.
Could be hair color for some. I think that's a more fun answer, and take that, AI. You didn't come up with the best answer, but charcoal is what the computer came up with. But I think I would have taken hair color. I think that's a better one. The human element makes a better answer. You heard it here on the Industry 4.0 podcast. Getting to a little more serious side. So what kind of impact are you seeing from digitization? It's digitalization. There's lots of talk about it and digitalizing companies. And where do you see the impact of this, and what's this really doing, and how has the impact kind of come over time?
You know, digitalization, whether you call it that or not, has really, in my mind, been around for 30 plus years. It's more mature in some industries, but when you think back all that long ago, where we started working with computers and introducing automation, control systems, there are companies out there who built proprietary control systems to run their plant. And then time passed and we realized that that's giving us bits and bytes of information that if we look at it in context or look at it in patterns and trends, it gives us more information. And so then we had the introduction of MES systems. And then we grew from there to have vertical integration and horizontal integration to where we started looking at disparate types of data in context. And so, you know, for me, the impact of digital transformation is a continued evolution of movement forward. And to that end, you know, this movement that we're seeing allows us to communicate between the shop floor and the top floor, meaning the ERP. And so today we're taking the next step with information, we're contextualizing it, and we're putting it in the hands of our operators and enabling them and empowering them to be decision makers.
And you think, so I mean, I can echo and agree. PLCs are from 80s, I want to say, really, when they were the beginning, and that's a digitalization part of manufacturing. And the Grail was always certainly on a lot of customers I've been at to connect up to ERP, and the goal was always to feed stuff to ERP. Do you think all of this data and information in hands of the operator, is that an extension of ERP? Are we still pushing all the data into ERP or ERP-like systems and then hoping to have people pull from that? Or is it something else? Is the dream still connect everything to ERP and then, hey, we can pull stuff out of there? Or are we sort of hitting some of the limits of ERP and then we're using other systems to do this contextualization and data and support operators and others?
No, it's a good question and something that we've thought about a lot. And it really comes down to which systems are your systems of record or your source of truth. And really understanding where your data lake is to collect and contextualize all of that information. There's different concepts out there of how you do it. From our perspective at Kraft Heinz, you know, we've created an IT/OT reference architecture that we try to work against. And in that, we have our data lake. And we put information from our historian, you know, things like OEE, we put into that data lake. And if it needs to be contextualized with that SAP information, that is another systems of record. So the short answer to your question is SAP has its purpose, ERP has its purpose. It does not have to be the end all. I've always had the concept in my mind of, you know, something like an MES is the equivalent, instead of calling it manufacturing execution system, it could be the equivalent of an ERP, but in the manufacturing space. And I think we need to be thinking in that context, but also even thinking outside the box when it comes to near time and real time. And with today's technology around cloud and SaaS vendors, what does that really mean? And how do we pull all of that together? And so that's kind of the approach that we're
taking. It's an interesting challenge. Like where do you build these tools? And if you've got some of the data there, do you do things there in ERP, or is ERP too rigid, or is ERP too critical to the business? So you don't want to be building too much, playing too much in there. Or the people who consult on it have a few extra zeros on their hourly rate. So where is the right place to build it? And thank you for sharing again. That's kind of the approach where you're taking. And where do you see kind of roadmap for that on the next 5 years? Like what are the, you're getting this data lake, you're doing this to power operators. What are some of the steps on that, or what's the focus on that for the next 5 years?
In terms of what the future looks like, you know, I think we will continue to evolve, and we're really turning our attention to corporate data architecture to kind of build out and mature, you know, in that space from shop floor data to top floor data. You know, building things like a potential corporate data dictionary, making sure that we have stewards of the data, owners of the data. Making a distinction between master data that's in an ERP versus master data that comes from the shop floor. So I think we will, you know, mature in that space. I think, you know, coming from other industries, they're going through the same process as well in maturing in how we handle the end-to-end data architecture. So that'll be the focus, I think, over the next 5 years.
I think this is something that maybe the more technical, less businessy of us listening or driving projects, or everyone gets excited about the new tool, but who's gonna govern that? And I know that's something on the label verification side we raise with many companies, that you can put all these things in, but yeah, who's keeping that data current? Who owns it? If there's changes needed, what is that process for that? And if none of that's done, you could put all this in, and then your lack of maturity means it all becomes garbage in a short period of time, or it's garbage to begin with. It never gets corrected or amended. And definitely a key point and something I've seen on ERP rollouts. All that is so critical and can make such a difference at the beginning. Do you see security as how big of a deal is security in your mind? What are the sort of pieces and parts on that? And what's any thoughts on security?
Yeah, security is foundational to everything that we do. And I mentioned the IT/OT reference architecture earlier. The premise upon which that was built was placed upon cybersecurity and making sure that, you know, we protect our plants, we protect our enterprise. And it is without question something that we all must do. We all must have attention on security before we build anything out on top of that, or else we would be building walls of a house on a crumbling foundation. And
if anything, you're setting yourself up for more of a failure. If you've got some nice new cloud thing and you connect your Windows 2000 computer that's running an oven to it, well, maybe that's a new attack vector. If it's not so interesting to hear the reference architecture, so creating a standard for this so people aren't going off and doing Industry 4.0 in their own random ways, which opens up security vulnerabilities. Good point. I mean manufacturing is particularly vulnerable to this, with a lot of older equipment, older computers running up, hopefully not as many, but it's absolutely, it's old things absolutely last in manufacturing more than
right exactly. It's nice to talk about the new bells and whistles and the new technology, but fundamentally what we have to do is get our plants and factories in order from a cybersecurity standpoint, from a technical debt standpoint. Again, we have to build a strong and reliable foundation before we can start adding on all of the you know, formative North Star looking solutions.
Yep. And so you've got this huge footprint of these plants where you're trying to put this on. Some are newish, some are, I'm sure, extremely old. And there's a mix of equipment and there's a mix of lines. And having been in many Kraft Heinz plants, I know there's some older lines, and hey, it's running and it produces a quality product. So why make a change? Does that alter your approach in this? And for other people listening that have a mix of facilities of ages, sizes, lines, acquisitions from other companies perhaps that merge, does that change your approach?
It doesn't necessarily change our approach. It may alter the scope of what we do, because, you know, in some cases we need to include upgrades or uplifts of some of those you know, PLCs to be able to speak to modern technology. So we just make sure that we include that in our requirements and in the scope of what it is that we want to do as part of any initiative.
And what's the biggest challenge that you see when you're for manufacturers, for yourself and other manufacturers, as you're trying to execute on some of these and just keep the business running?
I mean, ultimately, it's the loss of people and institutional knowledge. Whenever we do a project, you know, you want to be able to do your typical as-is scenario value stream mapping. And due to the high turnover that we have in plants and factories, that often becomes difficult because you no longer have that institutional knowledge. And this is what we're hoping exactly that the digital journey will help us overcome, right? Is to be able to capture some of this institutional knowledge so that we can seamlessly run our factories without being impaired by the loss of people leaving the company or changing roles for new opportunities. So in terms of the people turnover, I would say, you know, we also have to respond with agility in the areas of quality, maintenance, environmental, think of safety audits, whether they're internal audits or external, we must have the data at our fingertips. And we can't spend 2 weeks or 3 weeks to find this data. So we have to be quick in our responses.
That's a good point. And no, there's lots of, with FSMA 204 and some of the other regulations that are coming in, there's an ever increasing need for quicker response to regulatory authorities and quality data. And I imagine, and customers have their own quirks and things they're asking for at certain times and places and so on. And so it's not just data for data's sake or data, there's the regulatory piece. And it seems like food is ever so slowly, but it is moving sort of more almost to pharmaceutical type levels of, I mean, it's not there yet by any means, but it's on the move. And institutional knowledge, I mean, yeah, I guess that would be the dream, that your digital systems know what your operator who's been there for 30 years knows, or at least can help that next operator get up to speed. Is that, are we going to be able to really put all that at, like, is that fully achieved, or what percent, if you had to make up a number, how much of that institutional knowledge do you think is realistic to get in there from that 30-year-old operator?
Oh, you put me on the spot. You know, I would venture to say that, number one, we're always going to need people, right? But we want the people to be able to your point, coach others, mentor others, build, you know, a succession of this knowledge and wisdom. And so if you think about things like tools like the HoloLens or AI, you know, capturing this knowledge and this information is the first step. And in my mind, that's a little bit of the most challenging step towards the journey of being able to automate some of this. So what percentage, if you put me on the spot, I'd have to say initially 50%. Is what I would target. You just think simply about being able to describe your end-to-end work process. I mean, it would be a huge effort to have all of those types of things documented, but not only documented it, maintaining that information is what is always a challenge for most manufacturing facilities that I've been in, because we work lean, right? And so we're focused on the highest priorities. And when a plant goes in and puts in a new line or a new piece of equipment, you have to remember to go back and update that knowledge base. And so getting ourselves into that mode, I think is going to get us to that next step of being able to capture some of this knowledge.
I think that's a good point. I think for bringing up, thank you for answering, but being put on the spot for make up a percentage of how much we can put an operator in it. But to your point, yeah, it's maintaining that. And that's, you can have these big corporate push and, hey, everyone, I don't know, maybe there's t-shirts for everybody along with it and rotating tours of the plants to say, yeah, let's document all this. Let's record all this knowledge that we have from these people. And then that's great, but keeping that up to date, maintaining that when you add lines, move lines, change lines, always a challenge. And to your point on HoloLens and others, it's not just collecting this information. And this is where I think Industry 4.0 can really help, is presenting that, right? It's one thing to collect this and store it. And there's tools that we've had around forever or for some time, computers and documents and SharePoint sites and the like, but what are some better and newer approaches to present this to people, present it to them in the context of, yeah, I'm looking at this filler and tell me what I need to know right now, because I read that giant manual about the line and I only really need to know this one quirk about my changeover, right? For this product, we don't run that often. So new frontiers in collecting, storing and presenting in a useful context to help get that institutional knowledge rolled out when you get new people. Wonderful. What are some of any consumer technology? We've been talking about sort of the manufacturing side. Is there any consumer level applications that you think are going to be adopted by manufacturing and changes to in the next 5 years?
I do. I mean, our vendors, our solution providers are evolving. And you mentioned the FDA FSMA traceability requirement that the timeline for that, I think, is January of 2026. I think we're going to see some of these technology applications being adopted by manufacturing, being driven by some of these traceability and regulatory compliance type requirements that are inevitable with laws like the FSMA 204 in the US or like the deforestation in Europe. And information is going to need to be passed from the supplier at the front end all the way to the customer and from the customer to the market. So it brings us back to that discussion about data and having that digital thread and vendors really needing to focus on interacting with each other. And I think we've seen over the last 10 years, I think we've seen that realization where, you know, we have to create a complementary ecosystem. There's not necessarily a one size fits all solution for everything that we need to do, but they need to talk to each other nicely. And we're definitely seeing some movement towards that by our
providers. That's we're engaged in looking into some of that for clients. And there's a significant change there, because you're right, you need data from your raw material providers coming to you. You need to collect that and receive that and store that. And maybe that fits nicely in your ERP. But then you need to take that and then track that movement of the things related to that, or what you produced from that and however you transformed it through your manufacturing process. So now you need a tighter link to your plant floor with ERP, because you're matching that data from your raw material supplier as it kind of you use those ingredients. And then you've got to package that all up and then put that in your finished product and ship that off to your end customer. So you're not just a food manufacturing company, you're a data processing and manufacturing company as well, because you won't be able to ship it unless you can also provide all that trail that kind of goes with it. So, and there's a right. There's an ERP, there's a shipping receiving part to this, as well as plant floor and moving stuff through the chain. So not an easy ask for manufacturers, particularly particularly older equipment and older plant floor. Yeah. And yikes, definitely some work there, right, for that one. But I got one. Actually, this is a good one. We should always ask this, definitely. What is the coolest? We talked about, you know, business and such things, but what's cool? What is the coolest application that you're using right now or experimenting with right now that you can tell us about?
Well, I have to give props to our amazing Digital Revolution team, who, you know, my organization has been supporting rolling out a solution called Connected Worker, which is putting tablets into the hands of our shop floor operators to give them real-time or near real-time information, as we talked about, contextualizing some of this data so that they're able to make decisions on, you know, the efficiency of the line, making improvements, following standard operating procedures, being able to access those standard operating procedures. And so we've been successful at rolling that out. We're at the beginning stages of our journey, but it's been successful, and we're happy to see where this is going to take us in the future.
That's an interesting one, because it's not a completely revolutionary concept to give tablets to people, but mm-hmm. we have all these SOPs, we have all this data, we have reporting. Those things have been around. Not every site has everything, but a lot of that. But there's no way to actually mm-hmm. pull it up unless you leave the plant floor, leave your piece of equipment, walk over to a computer. Maybe you've got some stainless steel kind of computer systems or quality systems on the plant floor, but those are usually there to do some job. And maybe on a different network even. So you can't access any of that stuff that exists. And your operators are walking around. That's the other one, right? They're not standing still. They got to be loading equipment and fixing jams.
Right.
And has there been any, I guess one, I'll ask one quick question. Like, have many of those failed or been dropped? And again, operators are busy people in challenging environments. Or has that been any issue in that? Or have they, I guess some number?
Yeah, It's a good question because, you know, one of our early learnings with a different solution is that you're right. You know, Wi-Fi, we do not have, nor is it necessarily our desire to have wall-to-wall coverage from a Wi-Fi perspective. So you have to strike the right balance of how much Wi-Fi do you need. So at the beginning of every rollout that we do, we have it as part of our scope to do a Wi-Fi assessment. We've planned to have that in our projects, and we look at, okay, what is the just right amount of Wi-Fi that we need? And when I talk about building that foundation, being able to have the ability to use the modern technology, Wi-Fi is one of those fundamental or foundational elements that you need to be able to add your digital solutions on top of.
Yeah, and you have some huge facilities that just blanketing with
Yes.
Wi-Fi is not is going to be expensive. And to your point, how much do you need, or where do you need, or where are people actually working? And no, thank you for sharing that. Again, that's something I imagine, because all of this has to be balanced with making money at the same time, right? It'd be nice to do everything, but
Right.
we need to do things that make value and where it makes sense. So I have one other question.
Right.
I got two other questions, I guess, as we're kind of closing. This is a question from a previous guest. So if it's better than the other ones, then you know why, or worse than either way. Given the Inflation Reduction Act in the United States, how will software manufacturers, vendors adjust?
So, a little about me is I grew up in a farming community. My dad and my grandparents were farmers. And so, you know, when I look at the Inflation Reduction Act, I see that there's an agricultural component of it. They at Kraft Heinz, we have farmers that provide and are suppliers for our materials that we produce, for our products that we produce. I believe that, you know, this act goes beyond manufacturing, and we have to look at the whole digital thread. I mean, part of the component of this act is also renewable energy. Part of the component is, you know, how do we monitor the energy that we consume? But the agricultural aspect of it is how do the farmers also meet these same requirements, and how can we assist them in meeting these same requirements? The ability to manage things that are outside of our control would be what we want to address. And is that a pipe dream? To some extent it is, but I think we need to challenge ourselves and think about what is it that manufacturers can do in terms of renewable energy. In the CPG, food and beverage industry, you know, obviously we use electricity. In other industries, there's, you know, they make electricity that they sell back to the grid. And so I think if industries are a good steward, that is where we need to provide input into the act and be able to help the world.
Perfect. Thank you. And yeah, definitely a lot of change coming out of it. I think it'll be interesting to see kind of long run where I know there's a push on renewable energy, and do we hit limits on some of this? And that's probably topic for another podcast, and where do we go from here? But I think to your point, so you're seeing that this is an opportunity for producers and consumers, and I guess consumers who are also producers. So for manufacturers to make closer relations with their suppliers, and energy producers to make closer relations with their consumers. And if we can do some of that with data and get some gains in our environmental footprint and in lowering costs, then everybody wins. I love it. And then it ties nicely into Industry 4.0, into data and more data going back and forth again, not just for regulatory purposes, but hopefully so we can all again reduce costs and decrease footprints. One like question I'd like to ask you, is there an Industry 4.0 question you would like answered? So for our next guest, anything you'd like us to ask?
As we talked about earlier, we do have a lot of different processes. We produce a lot of different products. And, you know, what I would like to ask for our next guest is what methodology or process has been utilized at other global corporations to have a focus on application rationalization and lean solutioning? And what do I mean by this? What I like to propose is to have a common core of solutions where possible. I have the realization that there's no one size fits all. So the question really comes down to, how do you find the right balance between centralized and decentralized digital transformation? So that would be the question that I would pose.
How much do you let the plants or the lines or the site controls person, or how much leeway do they have? How much can they do? How much can't they do? What kind of tools do you present them? How much do you let them customize those tools, and or how much do you not? An interesting question, and maybe a topic for another whole podcast. Do you give them the tools? Do you let them bring their own tools in? Do you just give them the connections to ERP and say, hey, go nuts, pull what you want out of it with your own tools? Probably not that one, but how much leeway do you give, and what sort of experience have people seen? Excellent question. I'd love to hear the answer myself. So thank you again, Angela. This is real pleasure talking with you. I hope I've been able to mostly keep up. Some people are ambitious in their careers. Thank you very much for your time and for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
Thanks everyone listening and for joining the Industry 4.0 podcast with Grant Tech. Hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you found it insightful. Hope you learned a few things. Please do subscribe to the Industry 4.0 podcast with Grant Tech, wherever you get your podcasts. If you have any questions or feedback or thoughts on Industry 4.0, please send us an email at info@granttech.com. And please join us again next time. Thank you very much.